expect the Chinese side to tell the American side it's not such a simple issue.
The schedule is full for the first meeting between Presidents Donald Trump and Xi Jinping. It's Thursday, April 6th. This is VOA Asia. Hi, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us, too, on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, North Korea launches again. Vietnam's trade practices are questioned. Tourism instead of fishing in the South China Sea. Clean coal and better sleep affect your health. We get off to a healthy start right now on VOA Asia. President Trump is making final preparations to welcome Chinese President Xi Jinping to his Mar-a-Lago estate in West Palm Beach, Florida. Already there is VOA Mandarin reporter Li Yuanlu, who joins us with what we can expect from the two-day meeting. Let's start with the basic schedule and what we can expect to see.
From what I know, Chinese President Xi Jinping and his delegation will arrive at Palm Beach tomorrow afternoon between 2 to 3 o'clock. And then after he arrived, President Xi and his delegation will go to Trump's private club, the Mar-a-Lago, which is not far away from the hotel President Xi is staying. It's about 20 minutes of drive. I mean, it's on the same island. So once they, you know, arrive at the Mar-a-Lago, they are going to probably take a walk and then and have some like a small group of meetings, you know, meetings of key principals from both sides. And then after that, President Trump and his wife, Melania, will host the visiting Chinese delegation for a working dinner at Mar-a-Lago. For Friday, the two sides will meet again in the morning, and we'll have a much bigger group discussions, you know, officials from both sides talk about a variety of issues. On the top of the agenda, of course, it's the North Korean issue and the economic relations between the two sides. And I heard that the two sides may issue a statement very similar to what United States and Japan did when the Japanese Prime Minister Abe visited here last time. And then there will be a working lunch, and after that, the Chinese delegation will depart via Alaska, Anchorage, and then go back to China.
We have heard that there may be some sort of a package that President Xi is bringing with him, some sort of a business-related or stimulus package to help Mr. Trump with his pledge to bring more jobs to the United States.
Yes. As you know, last time when President Trump had a phone conversation with Chinese President Xi, afterwards, the White House issued a statement, and what is striking about that statement is that it says, at the request of the Chinese side, the President Trump pledged to honor the One China policy. So what that indicates is that I think President Trump wants everybody to know that this is a kind of concession that he has made to the Chinese side. So everybody's expecting that, you know, when this time around, when Chinese President Xi is visiting here and having discussions with the American side, we expect him to bring something. And that package is going to be an economic package, right? And I think most likely it's going to be, you know, the ways that the China can invest in America to bring more jobs and create more jobs for Americans. And I also expect that the two sides will have some concrete discussions about how to, you know, solve this trade deficit issue. And I expect the Chinese side to tell the American side it's not such a simple issue, right, the trade deficit. I'm sure they're going to tell them the Chinese side is willing to solve this issue, but it's really not exactly what Mr. Trump is thinking, you know, like through the currency manipulation or other unfair trade practices. But I think the Chinese side is going to show to the U.S. president that the Chinese are willing to cooperate and trying to solve this issue for him.
Near Mar-a-Lago in Florida, Li Yuan, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
And you'll find more on our top story on our Facebook page at VOA Asia and also the VOANews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on VOAnews.com. Suicide bomber kills 6 people in Pakistan. North Korean missile test may be aimed at THAAD. Indian police say mob kills Muslim man transporting a cow. Malaysia decides not to criminalize child marriage. China hopes see Trump meeting will inject stability into relationship. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia and on our VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. Just a day before a scheduled U.S.-China summit in Florida, North Korea launched what U.S. Pacific Command called KN-15 medium-range ballistic missile into the waters off of the North Korean coast. It had a trajectory of about 190 kilometers and an altitude of about 60 kilometers in distance. Pyongyang failed in a launch attempt 2 weeks ago, but it fired 4 missiles toward Japan earlier in March. Some fell inside its exclusive economic zone. Centers for Strategic and International Studies Korea expert Victor Cha said it appears the North does not care about the timing of the launch ahead of Thursday's summit between Presidents Donald Trump and Xi Jinping of China in Florida.
Defiant, intransigent, opaque, the North Koreans have really not seemed to pay any attention or care at all what the Trump administration or what the Xi Jinping administration thinks of them. They've been averse to any sort of high-level contacts with the Chinese. Many people think it's the Chinese that are the ones that don't want to have the contacts with the North Koreans. It's actually the North Koreans that don't care to have the contacts with the Chinese. And they are on a very deliberate pattern of military testing of their ICBM program and their short-range and medium-range ballistic missile programs to demonstrate to the world that they can threaten U.S. bases in Korea and Japan, Hawaii and Guam, as well as potentially the continental United States in the not-too-distant future.
Cha said it is not unusual for Pyongyang to try to upstage any event, like a summit, that might discuss its nuclear and missile programs. Troy Stangarone of the Korea Economic Institute tells VOA's Victor Beatty external events appear to be giving the North impetus to advance its ambitions aggressively.
They are clearly trying to take and perfect their technology as quickly as they can. We're seeing right now tests that run roughly once a month, if not on a quicker pace. There have been discussions in regards to whether the U.S. is engaging in cyber attacks, and that might explain why we're seeing some of the failures. I think North Korea is determined to perfect this technology before they can be stopped.
The White House is ratcheting up the urgency over the North's nuclear pursuit ahead of the U.S.-China summit, with a senior U.S. official warning the clock has now run out on Pyongyang. A very terse statement from Secretary of State Tillerson late Tuesday. North Korea launched yet another intermediate-range ballistic missile. The United States has spoken enough about North Korea. We have no further comment.
Right now, it is not the time to necessarily be drawing lines in the sand, I think. Any steps that the United States could take short of military action will likely require time. Saying that we have no comment or that the clock has run out doesn't really mean much, and I think empty rhetoric doesn't really help us to solve the problem. What we need to do is, at the upcoming summit meeting with China, stress to President Xi that this is something that we need to resolve, that the time is running out. But that's more of a private conversation than a public one.
On Tuesday, before the Senate Armed Services Committee, General John Hyten, head of the U.S. Strategic Command, said that any effort to curb the North's weapons program will need to involve China. President Trump, to the Financial Times Sunday, indicated that if China doesn't help, the U.S. is prepared to go it alone.
I think that the comments by President Trump reflect more the U.S. desire to take and resolve the problem, and that it will take action which China may not approve of if they do not cooperate. General Hayden is correct. Any solution to this problem requires not just China, but to be honest, South Korea, Japan, Russia, and the United States all to be on the same page. If we're not doing things to take and bring all the parties together, we are simply allowing North Korea the room it needs to maneuver between the different parties and exploit differences between the parties.
China says it has very little leverage on North Korea. Can China do more?
China provides North Korea with oil each month. China continues to do, which is admittedly still legal business with North Korea. You have roughly up to 40,000 North Korean laborers in China. So there are different areas where China could continue to apply pressure. The difficulty for China is balancing both the need to apply pressure to push Pyongyang back to the table, but also to not apply so much pressure so quickly that either the regime itself collapses through miscalculation on China's part, or that North Korea responds in a kinetic manner, feeling that perhaps the clock is running out.
In a briefing Tuesday, a senior U.S. administration official said the United States hopes this week's summit with China will produce an understanding to coordinate on North Korea, and that Beijing will exert what the official called its considerable economic leverage to bring about a peaceful resolution. The official said nearly 90% of all North Korea's trade is with China, so North Korea will be a test of the U.S.-China bilateral relationship. Happening now in Asia, North Korea launched a missile off its east coast early Wednesday. It flew about 60 kilometers before splashing down into the water. United States Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said the U.S. has spoken enough about North Korea and had no further comment. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us today. Vietnam is facing the threat of possible trade retaliation from the United States after it was named among 16 countries with which the United States had a significant trade deficit in goods last year. VOA Asia's Steve Miller chatted with VOA Vietnamese service reporter Trung Nguyen about the U.S. statement and a muted response from Vietnam.
Actually, I talked to an economist. And I also read Vietnamese media, and they did not seem to be surprised at all about that, to be called a cheaters. And Vietnamese government has not responded to what Mr. Trump has said, and also to his two executive orders he signed last Friday. There's no formal... Until today, I did search before coming here to talk to you, and they haven't responded to Mr. Trump's statement.
That's really interesting. What does this kind of discussion and label signal in terms of moving forward with the United States?
As you know, from Mr. Trump's two executive orders, he asked relevant agencies to do a thorough reviews of 16 countries, how they managed to have such a trade surplus with the U.S. I mean, Vietnam is not on top of the list, but among the top country.
But even in Asia, Vietnam isn't a very, I would say, huge or robust economy.
Vietnam relies on exports. It's an export-driven country, and most of their exports, most of their products have been exported to Europe and to the U.S. So obviously, the U.S. is one of the biggest trade partners of Vietnam, and that's why Vietnam enjoy a very large, very big trade surplus with the U.S.
Are the analysts and officials you've spoken to, are they concerned at all as to what kind of impact this could have on the Vietnamese economy moving forward?
I talked to a few observers and also economists in Vietnam, and they told me that Vietnam have wait and see approach. Vietnam tried to wait and see. Because, as you know, that the review requested by Mr. Trump will be done, and the results should be handed in 90 days. So Vietnam is trying to do this wait-and-see approach. But some economists told me that Vietnam, obviously, if there is any trade retaliation, Vietnam will have its own way to deal with it.
Oh, that's unfortunate because we've heard about the quote-unquote dangers of a trade war from President Xi Jinping of China and as well as Prime Minister Li Keqiang when they were discussing global economy. They said it would not be good for anyone. No one wins a trade war.
observers inside Vietnam also echo that sentiment that nobody benefit from the trade war. And I talked to some of them, and they are concerned about a trade war with the U.S.
Well, as the policy becomes known, I'll be sure to have you back on the program. Trung Nguyen is from our Vietnamese service. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're listening to VOA Asia.
News is mobile, and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
This news alert from VOA Asia, the Dalai Lama will begin a week-long trip to the eastern Himalayan region administered by India, but is claimed by China as, quote, southern Tibet. China expressed opposition and said the trip would damage China-Indian relations. India said China should not create an artificial controversy. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, a Philippine city on the front lines of the wide-reaching South China Sea dispute is developing marine protection and ecotourism to help the sea and regenerate stocks of fish for an embattled local fishing industry. Manislok on the South China Sea coast of Luzon Island is stepping up protection of fish and coral in its bay. Olive Abido Gregorio is the Municipal Coastal Resources Management Officer.
We have a very big contribution to the coral reef, not only in the Philippines, but we have a big contribution to the coral triangle countries like Indonesians, Thailand, Philippines. Maybe it contributes to the biodiversity of all other nearby countries.
She adds the health of coral in the bay affects fish that migrate across the entire South China Sea, and 40% of the sea's species can be traced back to Manislok. As overfishing, overpopulation, and climate change have hurt the marine environment, tourism is growing in Manislok. About 500 people per month visit two of the bay's protected areas. China has sought to regulate stocks through annual fishing moratorium since 1995. This year, it's scheduled from May through August. Fabrizio Pizzato is an associate researcher specializing in international affairs at Tongkang University in Taiwan, and says several countries see the moratorium as an assertion of Chinese power.
A periodical fishing moratorium will be advisable in order to avoid depletion of the South China Sea fisheries. The problem is that the fishing ban is unilateral, that is not agreed with the other fishing entities in the South China Sea.
Manislok fishermen say they don't plan to observe the moratorium. Our thanks to Ralph Jennings for bringing us this story. Developing at this hour in Asia, Australian police seized 903 kilograms of crystal meth hidden in planks of wood from China. The estimated street value is $680 million. Two men have been arrested and charged with drug trafficking. The amount recovered is equivalent to about 9 million individual hits of meth. VOA Asia keeps you informed all day on Facebook at VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, coal has been a plentiful and relatively inexpensive power source for homes and industry throughout Asia, but burning coal creates a severe impact on air quality. Since the 1990s, the United States has steadily abandoned coal and turned toward natural gas and renewables for power. But coal is back, thanks to President Trump's recent repeal of restrictions on the industry. While most scientists agree coal is one of the main sources of air pollution and, consequently, climate change, VOA's George Pudich reports others, including the White House, say the answer is so-called clean coal.
In the southern U.S. state of Mississippi, the local power company is building a huge 582-megawatt power plant that will employ clean coal technology. It involves removing the heat-trapping CO2, says former chair of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, Bob Watson, who spoke via Skype.
The other term for it is carbon capture and storage, where we combust the coal to produce electricity but we then store and capture the carbon dioxide, and we can store it in a depleted oil well, a depleted gas well, or in a saline aquifer.
Along with boilers, turbines, and generators, a clean coal power plant requires a separate facility for removing the CO2 and another for pumping it underground. So the question is, where to build one? Close to a city that needs energy, close to a coal mine, or close to the underground storage?
You can either put them near a city and transport the liquid CO2, or you can put them near a depleted gas well or oil well, and then you just obviously have to transport the electricity.
Construction of the $7 billion Kemper County Energy Facility began in 2010, and it is slated to start generating electricity later this year. It will capture at least 65% of the CO2 it produces.
So, you know, as you build more of these, as you engineer more of these, the costs will come down. The ability to construct them in a timely manner will improve. You know, what we're seeing here is just an effect of a first-of-a-kind technology.
These new technologies can make coal cleaner, but it's now more expensive and still dirtier than technologies like natural gas, solar, and wind power. Critics point out that the Kemper County project was started when coal was the primary fuel used to power America. But just 7 years later, the U.S. now relies on natural gas and renewables are on the rise. So it's hard to imagine coal making a comeback, clean or not, if these other technologies continue to grab more of the energy market. George Putich, VOA News, Washington.
Well, many of us don't get enough sleep. Scientists say they are investigating poor quality of sleep as the source for many diseases of aging, including heart disease, cancer, and Alzheimer's. VOA's Jessica Berman reports they're working on ways to improve the amount of restful sleep that elderly people get.
Humans spend approximately one-third of their lives asleep. In an ideal world, the time spent sleeping is restful, helping to refresh both alertness and memory. As we age, though, experts say the quality and quantity of sleep becomes poor and fragmented because the neurons and brain circuits that regulate sleep slowly degrade. It's a downhill process that they say begins in a person's 30s. By the time someone is in their 50s, sleep scientists say the average person has lost 50% of their capacity for restful sleep and has trouble falling asleep and staying asleep overnight. From middle age on, sleep specialists say the problems with restful sleep only get worse. Matthew Walker, a professor of neuroscience and psychology at University of California at Berkeley, is director of the school's Sleep and Neuroimaging Lab. He says dream state or rapid eye movement sleep, known as REM sleep, remains mostly intact as we age. What tends to fall off is non-REM sleep, the deep sleep that leaves people feeling refreshed in the morning. As people age, their risk of developing heart disease, cancer, and Alzheimer's disease rises. Those conditions are commonly believed to interfere with sleep. But Walker thinks the problem may be the other way around.
Or at least it's a two-way street, I think. And maybe the traffic is flowing more so in one direction. In other words, I think sleep disruption is a novel, underappreciated factor that is contributing to aging and dementia as we get older.
In a meta-analysis, Walker and colleagues reviewed data on 2 million people in a study reported in the journal Neuron. When they looked at electrical patterns of sleep in sleep-deprived adults, they found slow waves and so-called sleep spindles, or bursts of brain activity, which disrupt non-REM sleep. They also found chemical markers in spades, as one researcher put it, in people deprived of restful non-REM sleep. Walker says virtually all body systems are affected by a lack of sleep. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
Well, perhaps before you take a well-deserved nap, you can download our podcast and take VOA Asia with you wherever you go. Be sure to check us out on Facebook as well at VOA Asia. We thank you so much for listening to our program today, and we thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer Jim Harmon, managing editor Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, including Steve Miller and Ali Ogden. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a fantastic day.